All right. Now that we are all standing completely confused, may the word of God fall afresh. Oh, there it is. On your ears this day. Praise the Lord. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. What a way to end a sermon. Talk about not leaving on a warm and fuzzy note, right? Wow. We've been through quite a journey in the last several weeks looking specifically at the Sermon on the Mount, and not once was there a warm and fuzzy. It was nothing but challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge. And as we've gone through this, we see that there is a choice to be made every single day, and that choice is, which kingdom are you going to live into? And Jesus makes this choice very clear at the beginning of this passage. There's two roads to take. One is wide, and a bulk of people are taking it. It's easy to go along with the masses. The other one is narrow and quiet. Not many people take it. Not many people find it. But oh my goodness, is it important that we find it? Because the most scary thing in this passage, good grief, what a way to end a sermon is, not everyone who comes to me saying, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God. What? Jesus, I thought I knew you. I was able to do great things in your name. I prophesied. I worked miracles. I cast out demons. Those are all very mysterious, miraculous things. And you're telling me I can't even get in for that? What? I don't know about you, but that's pretty shaky. It gives us a paradigm shift because it rocks our security in who we are as children of God. Because most of the time we hear, you are a children of God. God loves you. God wants a relationship with you, right? Jesus sacrificed death on a cross because God so loved the world so much. But folks, it's not all about what God is doing. It is because what God is doing, we get an opportunity to find that narrow path, to get to know Jesus on a deeper level. And it is more than just head knowledge. And it's more than what we do. It's the why. Why we do what we do. And Paul gives us a little enlightenment on this. He says, even if you're prophesying, even if you're working on miracles, even if you sacrifice yourself unto death and you do not have love, then you have wasted your time. It is about the why. It is about what flows out of our hearts. Loving God and loving neighbor. It's all about our intention. Right? When we look at this world, if we live in a crazy, crazy fallen world, good grief. I don't know if there is more shootings now, but they are certainly being highlighted on the news. From Wednesday, the shooting of the neighborhood and the couple that was gunned down in front of their house late at night just because they were coming home at that time. Or the sheriff that was shot down because he was just making a routine stop. We know that we live in a fallen world where there aren't just hardened hearts, there are angry hearts. There are murderous hearts. And this impacts us in different ways. For some of us, we just want to close ourselves inside the house and say, it's not safe out there. I'm just going to stay inside. I'm going to get out as minimally as possible, which is really possible with Amazon these days. You don't have to get out for anything or for anybody. In fact, Amazon makes it so easy. You can just do the box subscription and not even think about it and never leave your house ever again. You can have a job in your house to still generate income and just be a hermit. For some of us, that might be a viable thing, a viable explanation to the world's problems. For some of us, it's the opposite extreme. I'm going to carry my gun everywhere I go. I will not be caught without it. I don't care. They had better put the right sign on the door. That is the legal sign. And even if they have one posted and it's not the legal one, because I know what the legal one says, I am carrying my gun in there. Right? There are, I don't know how many times Mac turns around and goes, you want me to leave it in the truck, don't you? Yes, honey, it's a funeral. Please leave it in the truck. If they shoot us all down, at least we'll all be shot down together. It'll be all right. And then there's just all kinds of responses in the middle. And trying to live out your life in this craziness, that we have no control. There is no premonition. There's nothing to tell us something wrong's going to happen here. It is completely random and unpredictable. It's part of living in a broken world where free will is just a part of the world in which God built. And I can't really say that the world has changed, because when you get into the book of Genesis, you're not in it long. You're not even in double-digit chapters before the first murder happens and evil begins to snowball. There's something that happens within the human broken heart We've heard Jesus tell us, don't judge. Well, gosh, they're murderers. You don't want us to judge them? I think partly it's because when Jesus talks about thou shalt not murder, and he twists this law and he says, go back to your intentions. What are in your thoughts? You've not ever thought about killing someone? You've never really thought about it? You could be just as bad. Don't think that there is a huge boundary wall between you and those people that cross the line. I think what Jesus is telling us is there is a very fine line of difference between what we would like to consider us and them. That we have to be completely honest about who we are. That we consistently have to examine our own hearts. We think that because we have not crossed the line, that we are better. And what Jesus is pushing us to see is that line is very thin. It's a very thin line. And most of us don't even realize that we are on the road of the masses. That we have to be very intentional every single day to seek out that little meandering path. And to find it is a challenge. So I want to go back and look at what the kingdom of God is. We've talked a lot about it. This is one of my favorite little dictionaries. Number one, because it's small. Number two, it's because I love the title, Crazy Talk, a not-so-stuffy dictionary of theological terms. The other thing is, the person that wrote it and edited it is very snarky and sarcastic. And I just love the way he writes. So I looked up the kingdom of God in here. And this is what he says. A time that hasn't happened yet, but already has begun. A place that doesn't exist yet, but where you already live. As Yoda might have said, be confused. Be very confused. The kingdom of God refers to the time and place where God's will is done. I want to repeat that. The kingdom of God refers to the time and place where God's will is done. For optimists, God's reign started at Christ's resurrection, when the curtain went up in the drama of God's salvation. For pessimists, there is still plenty of against God's will sinning going on, so the reign won't start until the curtain goes down at the end of time and all evil is gone. Rest easy. God's reign is both now and not yet. The optimist and the pessimist are both right. God's spirit is active, but we also await the end of all suffering. So what we've found as we look into this kingdom of God that is and that is not yet is that the kingdom of God is being born within us. In the book of Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us that the whole earth is groaning for humanity to get it. Like it is in birth pains, agony, waiting for us to get it because we are the first fruits. We are the first signs that the kingdom of God is happening. Humanity and their very soul. It's not happening outside of us, it's happening within us. And when we allow it to happen within us, then the kingdom of God is all around us. It is that Holy Spirit penetrating our hearts, our minds, our souls, our very physical being, our strength. That when we surrender to the authority of the Spirit, and we are obedient to the Spirit's sway, we are living in the kingdom of God. Remember, we live in the kingdom of God here now today. It's a choice. We live in the kingdom of God as if we are already there. even though the world around us, as crazy as it is, tries to tell us it's not. In a way, it is blind faith to trust that God is working within us, to trust that God is moving within us, to trust even when we're scared and we don't want to leave our homes or we want to pack heat, that God is in the midst of all of us and that we have to be out in the world. Paul says we're not supposed to be of this world, but we are supposed to be in the world because we bring the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is born in the hearts of humanity. So if the believers are not bringing the kingdom of God out into the world, where does that leave the world? I have to admit that this is a crazy plan. Couldn't God have come back up with a better plan to rely on the frailty of humanity? But this is the plan God came up with. Not only are we to fully rely on God, but God is relying on us. This fully reciprocated relationship. One of the things that Jesus tells us earlier that boggled my mind was that very few will receive the right, can be as righteous as a Pharisee, or to be more righteous as a Pharisee. Let me put it that way. To be more righteous as a Pharisee. And I thought, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes were the people that Jesus really got onto. I really didn't think that Jesus thought they were righteous at all. They were very, very obedient and very, very particular about the law. They were all about righteousness and self-piety. But the one thing they lacked, that one thing, was love. The only way that we can be more righteous than a Pharisee is to have love in our hearts. And to be fully reliant on God. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, they were fully reliant upon themselves. Fully reliant on themselves. They were fully reliant on themselves. They wanted to be in control. They wanted to control who entered in and who was kept out of the synagogues and out of heaven for the ones that believed in the resurrection. Pharisees believe in the resurrection. Sadducees did not. That's why they're sad, you see. There's nowhere else to go after this life for the Sadducee. But the Pharisees did believe in an afterlife. Their hearts were so very hard, and it was almost like it gave them pleasure to leave people out. It gave them pleasure to leave people out. It made them feel good that they were better than anyone else. That's where their self-esteem and their value came from. And that is not what the kingdom of God looks like. The kingdom of God looks like surrendering to God everything that you are and everything you have to God's authority and to that still small voice. The kingdom of God looks like treating everyone blank slate exactly the same as you would want to be treated. So like those kids, when I ask them, have you ever had your feelings hurt? Have you ever seen a kid be disrespectful to a teacher? Well, yeah. Even the bullies, to treat even the bullies the same as you would your best friend. Well, that sounds awful. that's awful. Because, you know, I have this tier, I have this hierarchy. Like, you know, people that are closest to me, I'm going to treat with greater respect and more love, and I'm going to do more things for them. You know, those people who are mean to me, who rub me the wrong way, I call them sandpaper people, who leave you with that burn raw feeling. Yeah, I don't want to treat them like I treat the people I love. But Jesus says, you heard him last week, even those of you who are evil know how to treat your kids. If they ask for bread, you're not going to give them a live snake. You're going to give them what they need. You treat everyone like that. You give people what they need. Even the evil ones. The gospel also tells us, Jesus says, it rains on the good and bad. He tells a parable where the farmer goes out and sows all good seed, and at night the enemy comes and sows weeds. So all the workers, they ask, what are we supposed to do with this? Do you want us to go and try to pluck out? They kind of look the same. Do you want us to try to go and guess which ones are the bad ones? And the owner says, no, let them grow up together. That there's this image that God treats them all the same. We all get this opportunity. So if we are to be like Christ, we look at who Christ hung out with. Christ hung out in the fringes. Christ hung out with the poor. Christ hung out with the crazy people. Yeah. Those that were demon-possessed. Those who were hurt and mourning. Who were so hurt and mourning that they never left the cemeteries. Christ hung out with those who had the wrong kind of vocation, that everyone was angry at them. Because even within their vocation, it was an affront to who they were as a people and a culture. Jesus hung out with the prostitutes. That's who he ate with at dinner time. That's who he chose. He did not keep to himself, and he did not stay with the religious and the faithful and the righteous. He went out deep into the world. How do we know if we are living in the kingdom of God? You know, Paul is so, sometimes, you know, Paul is harder than Jesus, and sometimes Jesus is harder than Paul. Paul says this, he's much kinder than Jesus. He says, the Spirit of God will tell you, give you assurance that you are a child of God. Jesus is a bit more harsh in what we hear in this passage, but I want to throw another one in there that is from Paul in 2 Corinthians. It comes from chapter 13, verse 5. Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you are living in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? All right, so here's your homework. To be completely honest with yourself. To take a good, hard look at your heart, your mind, your soul, your very physical being. Every single part of who you are. And examine yourself. Do you reflect that you are a child of God, that Christ is living in you? Have you surrendered authority to God and God's will and God's kingdom? Whose kingdom are you living in? Do you love people as yourself? How are those things that Jesus challenged us with throughout the Sermon on the Mount? in our own intentions, and how we see other people, our prayer and devotion life. Why do you do the things that you do? To take seriously how much work we need to do on our own soul. One of the things Jesus told us is you can't do anything about anybody else's problems until you've dealt with the own stuff, the own splinter, or your own log in your own eye. What are those things for you? Where do you need work? Only can we be honest with ourselves can we truly be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have to admit our need. Our righteousness comes from the full reliance of God. This is not something that you can do by yourself. You cannot be what God wants you to be outside of devotion to God. You cannot be who God wants you to be outside of surrendering to God. So if you really want to be on that narrow path, if you're serious about seeking it out, then it starts with what's going on in your own soul, in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own body. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.